Is it on? Matthew 11:2. This is going to be a little bit of a different beginning to a Christmas season. John was in prison, John the Baptist, and he sent this message. Matthew 11:2 says, "Now when John, while imprisoned, heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, 'Are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else?' Jesus answered and said to them, 'Go report to John what you hear and see.'" Let's bow. Father, I do thank you for this Christmas season. Even though, Lord, it's not the exact time when Jesus was born, it's a time we have set aside, a month where we try to remember Jesus' birth. Even though we should remember it all year long, Lord, help us to really take into account what it meant for Jesus to be born and everything that entailed. I just pray again, Lord, that you would speak through me, help me to speak words that would glorify you and glorify your Son. We pray this in his name. Amen. So many times we hear sermons at Christmas time, and they focus on Luke chapter 2 and that the Christmas story, and I'm not faulting that. We read it before we ever open gifts at Christmas time every year. Isaiah 9:6, we hear those verses, "For a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you call his name Emmanuel." We read from Micah 5:2, which talks about Bethlehem. This isn't going to be one of those sermons. It's going to be a little different perspective. I always point out, maybe unnecessarily, that Jesus wasn't born this time of year. He was born probably more toward the springtime, but not exactly this. But, you know, Christmas came about because, I think because Christianity said, hey, this winter solstice on December 21st, people worship the earth and put up trees and do this and do that. Hey, let's have a holiday that we make for ourselves that celebrates the birth of Jesus. And ta-da, Christmas was born. And sometimes in the hustle and bustle of Christmas, Jesus kind of gets left out is not part of the celebration on his own birthday, or his own time frame that we celebrate his birthday. And I kind of like the song when I hear it where the little boy's at the mall and he says, "Where's the line to see Jesus?" Here's a line for Santa Claus. Where's the line to see Jesus? I want to look at a video this morning and look at Jesus' birth and what it was going to mean from a totally different perspective. We stopped it there for a reason, and you'll see later. Sorry. First time I saw that video, and you'll see at the end what I'm talking about. Jesus said, now if you go into the scripture, he doesn't say some of the words you saw there. "You don't need this pool. You only need me." So John sent his disciples to Jesus and asked that question: "Are you the one, or should we look for someone else?" And Jesus said, "The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." Jesus didn't say, "Wasn't I born of a virgin? Go tell him that." Jesus didn't say, "Weren't you conceived before me that so you could be the voice calling in the wilderness?" Which you can also find in prophecy in the Old Testament. Jesus sent word and said, "Tell him this." Now, I think that whole question on why Jesus, John's even asking anyway is very strange to me, because in the scripture we read first, it says right there that when John, while in prison, heard of the works of Christ. He heard of the works of Christ, but then he asked the question, are you the one? I don't even understand why he asked the question, but he did. And Jesus didn't go back with a bunch of scriptures, not that they're not important scriptures, Isaiah 9:6, Micah 5:2, all those different scriptures. He went back and said, tell him this. The lame walk, the blind see, the deaf are hearing, the dead have been raised, and the gospel's being spread. A direct quote from Isaiah 35, verses 5 and 6. And this morning I want to look at some of that scripture. Isaiah 35, verses 1 and 2 says, the desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will be burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. I think that this scripture isn't just talking about when Jesus came and some of the things that he would do, the Messiah would do. It is looking even further forward to the kingdom and what kind of conditions we're going to have. But one of these things does apply. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The desert will be glad. I don't know if Jesus is talking about just the desert or the time where Jesus said when he was here, I have living water that if you drink of it, you'll never thirst again. Jesus is, everybody that came in that world today and even the people today in our world, we are like a desert. We need water. And Jesus is that water. Isaiah 35, 1 and 2, and Jesus goes on to say in verses 3 and 4, strengthen the feeble hands. This is really nice to have up here, Timothy, but I get confused with my paper. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not bear, your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. And then he says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For the waters shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Jesus came to give us a glimpse of what the kingdom was going to be like. Lives would not be changed. If Jesus just came and died on a cross without ever giving us any idea of what this was all about, people would just be thinking, what? He gave us a glimpse as we look into our Bibles. Think about this man, whether it be this man that was healed by the pool, or how Jesus went up to blind Bartimaeus, I should say. And he said, what would you have me do for you? And Bartimaeus said, I want to see. He said, your faith has made you well. And he could see. All these things Jesus did to give people a glimpse of what the kingdom would be like. That's why he had to be born. Yes, he was born, and all those other scriptures matter, but he was born to be a servant and to serve and to do things to show compassion and love so that we could have a glimpse in our Bibles of what it's supposed to be like in the future. I love to go into the scriptures to Isaiah chapter 11 and read about the coming kingdom, what it's going to be like. And Jesus came to give us a glimpse of that. That's why he was born. That's why he was born to give us a glimpse of what the kingdom would be like. It's because of his birth that allowed him to tell parables. He gave us, because of his birth, it allowed him to heal. But it's also because of his birth that it allowed him to tell parables. Parables like the pearl of great price. Jesus is that pearl. The message of his birth is that pearl. And the miracles he performed that give us a glimpse of the kingdom are a pearl for us. His death on a cross to pay for our sins are a pearl, that pearl of great price. And in that parable, the man found this got this pearl and he went out and sold everything he had just to own that pearl. It kind of gives us an idea. I don't know why I do it, but I always look over here. Even Donna Enyard at the East Oregon Chapel used to always ask me, why don't you never look to the left? And so I don't know why I do it. He sold everything he had to own that pearl. And I think that's telling us in the parable that we as Christians need to be all about Jesus. Yes, we have other things in life that we do. We have our jobs. We have our families. And all those things are important. But if Jesus isn't the main thing when we are with our families and friends, then we've somehow lost track of what's really important. It's because of Jesus' birth that he could show love and compassion. He came to do that. We were talking in the lesson this morning. Jesus showed us the love of God. He may not have been God, but he showed us what God's love was like. He showed us that compassion and that love. And I think about the woman that was brought to him in adultery, who was caught in adultery. He didn't chastise her. He told the people that were going to stone her, let him that was without sin cast the first stone. And they all dropped their stones and had to go away because none of them were worthy to throw the first stone because they were all sinners. And when the woman saw that, Jesus finally said to her, where are your accusers? And they were gone. And he said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. But it's because of his birth, because he came and God saw fit to send his son, we're going to get into some of those other scriptures, I'm sure of it. But it's because of his birth that all these other things could happen, that Jesus could give us a glimpse of the kingdom. There's so much more to this story after the fact, and we're going to comment on some of it. Jesus is saying to us today to come. And then when we do come, dirt and all, he's saying, I'll give you rest. I will show you a better way. I will change your life. And he gave us a glimpse of the kingdom. I can't even imagine. We don't see the kind of miracles today that Jesus performed back then. I'm not saying they don't happen, but we don't see them right like the people could see these miracles. All these people, and the Bible tells us in this verse, the scripture that we're pertaining to, that the angel of the Lord came and stirred up the waters. The guy wasn't hallucinating. He wasn't imagining this stuff. The Bible tells us that God's angel stirred up those waters. Actually, people evidently were healed there. But this man couldn't get into the water. And Jesus asked him a simple question. Do you want to be healed? He didn't ask him, do you want some help getting into that water? Jesus didn't need the water. Jesus just needed to speak it. And he would be healed. I want us to take a look at the end of the video. Don't forget to take your bed. Why does this matter? Because you're not coming back here. Life is different now. See, I mean, surely for that guy, life was different. That guy never walked in his life. And now he got up, picked up his bed and left. And he needed to take his bed with him because you were not coming back here. Jesus makes a difference in your life. He changes your life. Yes, we fall down sometimes. Yes, we make mistakes. Yes, we do things that God would not approve of. And I pray that we're going to him and asking forgiveness and trying to get out of that situation and try to get ourselves in a better mental state so we're not always making mistakes. But when Jesus does change your life, whether it be through a healing or through touching your heart for him and making a change in your heart so you're a different person for him, you're not coming back here. You may fall down now and then, but you're not coming back here to live in this squalor, in this situation you were once in, because Jesus gave you something better. Whether it be that drug addiction you got rid of, or that whatever that thing that you struggle with, and only you know that you struggle with, and Jesus knows what you struggle with, only you can be praying for God to take that from you. And and change your life in a way like this man. Of course, the Bible doesn't tell us Peter said that. Don't forget to take your bed. You're not coming back here. But I love that thought. Now, in the background in that video, where's the Pharisees? They were there. And of course, in the scripture, they were there. Can you see the disgust on their face? What is this guy doing? And that man picked up his bed. A man that hadn't walked in a long time. And these people knew it. These Pharisees knew that. He picked up his bed, and what did they say to him? It's the Sabbath. What are you doing carrying your bed? Instead of, praise the Lord, this guy hasn't walked in years. This guy hasn't walked a step in his life. They're questioning him why he's carrying his bed. Well, that guy told me to pick up my bed and go home. And they started criticizing Jesus. When you come to know Jesus, when you come to a place in your life where he actually changes your life, the world is not always going to go, oh, joy. The world is going to say, Jesus, you believe in that stuff? The world isn't going to be in support of it, and neither were these Pharisees. And to me, when I look at the Pharisees in Jesus' day, it reminds me of the world we have today. That look and with disgust on their face of the Christian life and the morals that they teach. And yes, there are some hypocrites in the church that say one thing but do another. Rules for me, but not rules for me, but not for thee. Or rules for thee, but not for me. That's what I wanted to say. There are people like that, and the world does have a point sometimes when they look at us and see churches that are hypocritical, and we should not be that way. Isaiah 35, verses 7 through 10 goes on to say this. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. I think that's going to be literal, but also it's figurative in the sense that Jesus was the living water. He was that message, that hope that the world needed at the time, and people were coming to know Jesus because he was refreshing water in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It'll be called the Way of Holiness. It'll be for those who walk on that way. There's a lot in here. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there, and those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing, everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. A picture of a kingdom, but Jesus came and was born to show us a glimpse of that, to heal the lame, for the dead to come back to life, for the blind to see, for the deaf to hear, so people could get an idea that when this guy died on a cross, they didn't just kill some nobody. They killed somebody that came into the world, did good, and showed us what the kingdom is going to be like. And that's what we're supposed to be looking at as we celebrate his birth, and not just his birth in December, but his birth, his resurrection, his life all year long. We need to celebrate it and not be like those Pharisees. We're going to close with the song, Therefore the Redeemed of the Lord, which is the words of this last part of verse 10. So please stand and sing this song with me.